Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Now, you may have noticed I haven't done a show in a couple of weeks, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. My partner Gary and I are in San Jose, California, and for those of you who have been listening to this show for a few years, you know that we live in New York, and we do come out to San Jose for about 5 or 6 months every year, and we direct musical theater, and we're doing that now. We've got a production of Into the Woods that we're rehearsing, a teen cast and an adult cast. And the schedule's a little different this time. We're working all day and all night, and it really doesn't leave time for anything. And I kept thinking that I would be able to do the show, and then I would run out of time. But I'm really committed to this show, and I love bringing you information about food, and I love talking about food. And so we're pre-recording this show. It's the day before we're broadcasting, and we're staying up late just to talk to you. So, Gary, thanks for joining me tonight. You're awesome.
Thank you, Karen. I think it's great that we're doing this, and I felt really bad because I know that our work has taken you away from not only New York, but it's taken you away from doing your show every single week, and so you've missed the last two, and I feel horrible, so this is the least I could do. But it's important that I check in every now and then with your listeners to let them know how awesome you are and how hard you're working in so many different directions, especially with the activism and the responsible eating and living. You never really let it slip. And then you're also doing the Plant Powered and Thriving with John and Ocean Robbins. And you've been...
Yeah, that was fun because last week we finished up our six-week class and we end the class with a live Q&A. And I had to somehow fit all of that in with everything else that was going on. But we did it.
You did it. You did it seamlessly. And we're talking now like the old-fashioned FM radio disc jockeys, you know, with a hushed tone, because we're staying in a house in Campbell, California, and there are actually people living upstairs. So we're trying to keep it mellow. But we have a lot of information to give you. The number one thing I want to talk about is Responsible Eating and Living launched in July of 2011, and this is our anniversary.
That's right, 7 years. We've been going at it for 7 years at Responsible Eating and Living, and I hope you visited the website. We've got recipes and videos, my daily blog, and how many posts have I had? Like 1,200?
1,249. 1,249 as of July 14th.
It's a daily post of what we eat every day.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's a no frills. And sometimes there's
some
a lot
frills,
of frills.
But most of the time, it's pretty straightforward.
Pretty basic, pretty straightforward. And you can get a lot of information from reading the blog daily. There's also videos and recipes and important information.
You know, I just want to add, so we've been doing this for 7 years, and we have this really full schedule, and I mean it's full. We work from 9 till 4:30, and then we have a break until 6:30, which really isn't a break because there's so many things to do, and then we go till 10 p.m., and we do that Monday through Friday, and then we work on Saturday. So there's very little time to just relax, but I got hit with a server problem with the website, and I had to start troubleshooting and figuring out what to fix. And I'm still in the process of doing that, but at least I got it to a point where our hosting service isn't yelling at me anymore.
Right. And you have a green light on your site as well.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we are a secure site now. As you may know, I think it was Google that started it, but all the websites now, as of July, have to have this little green lock on it, which means that their site is safe and encrypted, and a lot of sites aren't.
Right.
Because it's just hard to keep up with. And We're good. We got the green light. We got the green lock.
We got the green lock.
Light.
Not to be confused.
So it's safe to come and visit us at responsibleeatingandliving.com.
Always safe.
It's safe. Anyway, so here we are, and we have this challenge of time. And I've been learning a lot, because I know a lot of people are challenged with time. They have their day jobs, they have their families and all kinds of things, and they always struggle with feeding themselves healthfully.
Right.
And that's what we've been doing. And I'm really happy with what we've been doing. I don't know about you. We haven't been eating exactly the same, but I know that I'm happy with what I've been eating.
I'm very happy. Yeah. I think I've lost a little more weight here since we started working.
So a lot of times when we talk about how to eat on a busy schedule, the recommendation is always about preparation and organization and planning ahead. And we've really been doing that. So one of the things we did when we first started in this intense working all day and all night schedule is we made a big pile of red lentils and a big pile of quinoa.
Right, that was great.
And we just brought that to the theater because there's a refrigerator there.
And we have our bulk oats that we make in the morning with apples and bananas and raisins. And you like to use
cacao nibs.
A few cacao nibs on there. And we have walnuts and pumpkin seeds. And that's the first thing we make in the morning. And if anybody reads the blog, they know that we've probably eaten a ton of oatmeal since we've started.
There's over 1,000 photos of oats.
We have so many oatmeal photos. So if you are ever wondering what to eat for breakfast, just...
But that's not the only thing. And in fact, we even had a day where I made those garbanzo bean flour omelets.
Yes. We've lived in how many places since we've been here?
Three. So that's another challenge. It's important to have a kitchen that has all of the accoutrements, as we like to say, all of the tools and things that make food preparation easy. And that means good stainless steel pots. We have some cast iron. We have some porcelain coated pots. We have, you know, it's not a fancy kitchen, but we have some quality items that
tools,
do
that, some quality tools
and tools that do what we need. We have a Vitamix. We have a juicer. We have an air popcorn popper.
Oh, you mean at our apartment?
At home.
In New York.
Yeah. And so
we don't have any of that here.
No, we don't. And that's part of the challenge, because we don't have the things we're used to.
Oh, our kitchen at home is, we're poetry in motion when we're in that thing, because that Vitamix alone is responsible for so many wonderful sauces and soups and
so here we are without our tools.
We're without our tools.
And we're making tasty food.
Yeah.
With our creativity.
It's really a trip, I guess, is the right word for those of you who know what that means. It's really
Gary's tripping again.
I'm using 70s vernacular here, forgive me. But it's been a trip to be in other people's kitchens, because we've house sat twice on this trip. And now we're in, I guess, what we would be considered an Airbnb. But we're the first couple to be in this Airbnb. And it has a really nice kitchen. We're in a basement. And it's got a 4-burner stove and a refrigerator and a... You know, it's big enough space that we can work in, but we don't have all of the tools that we're used to, so we're having to improvise a lot of the time. Like, we have two knives. We have one gigantic chef's knife and one really crazy serrated bread knife. And we're trying to do some chopping and dicing, and we have some cutting boards. So, but you adjust. You make do, and you figure out ways to work around the things that you don't have. But it feels like you're just one step behind all the time in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing people have heard about and more people are talking about is we're supposed to stop eating early in the evening.
Oops.
And then have about 12 to 16 hours of rest before our first meal the next day. And, you know, I think we're still doing that. We get home from rehearsal. Rehearsal ends at 10 o'clock, and we get back here around 10:30, 11, and we like to eat something. So already we're eating very late.
Yeah, like, so tonight we got home from rehearsal, and we bring a lot of food to rehearsal because, as Karen mentioned, we're there all day. And then we take about an hour and a half to 2 hour break, and then we're back at 6:30 and we work until 10. So there's a refrigerator on site where we are at the theater complex where we are. We're in a rehearsal room that's adjacent to a theater. And then there's a green room for actors, etc. And in the green room, there's a really nice industrial refrigerator. It's like a Trollson or, you know, one of those models that is a reach-in. So it's nice and cold. So we keep a big bag of food in there. And then we brought some of it home today. And Karen had mentioned we cook lentils. We cook big batches of lentils, big batches of quinoa. We make a lot of potatoes. Like yesterday, we made a big pot of purple potatoes. Just boiled them because we're afraid to use the oven here. So we don't. So we boiled purple potatoes and Yukon gold potatoes. And then you drain the water from boiling them and you just put them in a bowl and let them cool. And then we stuck them in the refrigerator. And we brought them to the theater with a container of mustard. And we brought some of that home tonight. And we just had a mixed green salad with tahini dressing, boiled potatoes, sweet and Yukon gold. And
some baked tofu.
And some baked tofu. And the tofu was already baked. We normally bake it ourselves, but because we're shy about this oven, we decided to buy tofu already baked.
Yeah, so we finished up around 11 this right. time.
11 p.m.
And I know that I won't be hungry before noon tomorrow, so no. I'm going to have my 12, 13-hour fast.
Right.
And that's usually how we do it. We end up eating late. So we'll make our rolled oats and pack them up.
Take them
and
to the
bring
theater.
Them along with us.
Yeah, we purchased some containers. And we don't normally use plastic, ever.
Oh, yeah, mea culpa. We're using
those plastic containers that you get. I guess they're Ziploc containers. And they've come there.
These are Glad.
Glad?
Yeah.
We're not glad we're using them, but no. They're a necessary evil for our schedule.
At home, we have wonderful glass Pyrex storage containers. I'm nuts over them. I love them so much, with silicone covers. And we use them all the time. But we're not at home.
Right.
Compromises.
We can't wait to get home. And that won't happen until the first week of never, it feels like. But we'll get there eventually. But we did bring stainless steel straws. So
we did, and we haven't used them.
We haven't used them. We haven't used really any straws.
I also brought your soy milk frother, which you were using.
I was using that at one of the homes we were at because it seemed a little more convenient then than it is here. And kind of over it here in this. And I'm very grateful for
this.
Well,
one of the reasons is we don't have time to sit and have our hot drinks. No. And what we do, here's another thing. We bought these, I think they're 32 ounces?
Mm-hmm.
32 ounce stainless steel thermoses.
Great thermoses.
They're great. So
and
we'll
they're
make
actually
our,
made by thermos. So
yeah, they're real thermoses. Yeah. And they keep the hot drink hot for like 24 hours.
I've never had a thermos this efficient before. I don't know what it is. It's amazing.
Well, and actually, I'm thinking it doesn't hold enough. I mean, it holds a lot.
Right.
But we finish our bottles every day.
Right. We should take a picture of them. You probably have a shot of them in
no.
the blog.
Oh, right, in the blog. No, I don't know. We'll have to take a picture of them. Yeah. Right. But they've come in really conveniently. So Gary makes his Ticino.
Right.
Because Gary's off of caffeine
yeah,
now, everybody.
Yeah, off of caffeine, guys. It's been difficult, but I think I'll survive. And if anyone has had as much coffee and tea as I've had, and then all of a sudden stops cold turkey, I've got a pretty amazing product for you to try, and it's called Ticino. And we talk about it in the blog a lot, but it's a grain coffee, and it comes in different flavors, and you can get your basic French roast style flavor, or you can go hazelnut, or this one that we have has chocolate in it. And I'm a little curious about whether or not, because it's a caffeine free beverage.
How could it be caffeine free?
How can it be caffeine free with chocolate in it? But
well, they also say it's gluten free, and yet it's made with some kind of barley.
Yeah,
so there are some mysteries about Ticino.
Yeah,
but we like it.
But we'll keep digging and figure it out. But it behaves just like ground coffee, and you can put it in a French press. You could even put it in an espresso machine. You can use it like you would use any of the ground coffees that you drink, and it's delicious. And it's actually not only healthy for you, but it does some really groovy things. And it's a segue. This is a segue because we were introduced to Ticino on another anniversary that we're celebrating.
Right?
Well, want to tell them?
No, you
where don't. Where we found it? Okay, so July 13th is an anniversary for Karen. And you have to tell them about that.
Okay, so July 13th, 2007, which was 11 years ago.
11 years
ago. Seems like another lifetime. I had my third and last surgery for advanced ovarian cancer. And this is when I found better doctors, because the original doctor who operated on me made mistakes.
Yeah, he made mistakes.
Doctors make mistakes.
People make mistakes.
And
big, bad mistakes.
We found some wonderful doctors and checked into Mount Sinai Hospital along with Elliot Gould.
Elliot Gould was there that day.
I don't know what he was going in for, but we saw him check into the same hospital.
And we know he's okay because we just saw him in Ocean's 8.
Yes.
The movie.
Not that we're recommending that you go and see that movie.
No, we can't make any recommendations of that nature here on this program.
Yeah, we can. It was just a terrible film.
But we would never do that. We would never say it was a terrible film.
Okay, we're not saying that.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that really enjoyed it. A lot of people out there probably liked Ocean's 8.
Okay.
So anyway, July 13th.
So there's my anniversary of being cancer-free. They took the last bit of cancer.
And so when Karen was at the Block Center in Chicago getting treatment after her surgeries, they served it in their, what would you call that, a commissary?
They had a kitchen.
Kitchen, right. And the Block Center was a very plant-based friendly treatment center for...
I call it the Club Med of chemotherapy.
Yeah, so,
and they had Ticino, they had raw bars.
Because so often you go to
a hospital or a
treatment center, and the food they serve the patients is what's getting them sick.
Potato chips.
Right.
Cookies.
Yeah, and so the Block Center was completely... it wasn't... You even found some problems with them, but...
Yeah, well, they weren't vegan, but they did encourage a primarily plant-based diet.
Right. And so that's where we first discovered Ticino. And check it out. It's great stuff. And I think it's... How is it spelled?
T-E-E-C-C-I-N-O.
T-E-E-C-C-I-N-O. Ticino. And... it's really lovely if you're trying to... And let's talk about caffeine for a minute, because there's a lot of different opinions about caffeine, right? Some people say it's good for you, and other people say it isn't. What do you say, Karen?
Yes, well, you know, I work with John and Ocean Robbins of the Food Revolution Network, and John loves his coffee.
Of course.
And he likes to report on all of the research that shows that coffee can be beneficial and health promoting. And there are some studies that show that people who drink coffee regularly not like overindulge, but a cup a day or two cups, live longer. But then there's Dr. Joel Fuhrman, my favorite medical doctor, and he doesn't recommend drinking coffee.
Yay.
Yay. And here's what I think. Research studies are expensive, and it's impossible to do the perfect test. You can't test every type of person and every type of diet and every type of food over a long-term study and get all kinds of information. It's impossible. It takes too long. It's expensive. And many of the studies or analyses that have been done with regard to coffee are done with normal populations, quote, normal populations, who may not be eating that healthfully. So coffee might be a benefit, like wine might be a benefit in some cases to people who aren't eating that well.
Oh, interesting.
This is my theory. But if you're on a Joel Fuhrman nutritarian diet or a whole food plant-based diet, eating primarily whole, minimally processed, organic plant foods, coffee may not be a benefit. Now, I don't think it's the end of the world. It's not like refined flour foods and sugar, but it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think it's health promoting, and I don't think it's horrible. Mm-hmm. But there are studies that show that some people have a metabolism for it and others don't. So some people can't handle coffee, and you discovered that you're one of them.
Yep, I am.
Lucky
you. I can't handle tea either anymore. It's a caffeine or a theine.
And it's not just caffeine in coffee, because coffee is filled with so many different organic chemicals.
Yeah, I have to be peeled off the ceiling now if I have a cup of coffee. And that's even chocolate, because there's caffeine in chocolate. And so I've even kicked chocolate for the most part. I mean, occasionally I'll have a small little piece.
Now, this is like amazing. And at some point you have to write your story, because here you are someone who smoked cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You drank a lot of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You ate animal foods.
Oh, yeah.
And you gave them all up at once.
Yep, for you.
And then...
all for you.
No, you did it for you, Gary.
I did it for me.
You did it for you.
No, I did it for me.
You did.
But you were my inspiration.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then years later, you gave up coffee. And yeah, you continue
I
to...
just gave up coffee the other day.
And kind of...
feels like...
You continue to kind of
yeah.
be selective about what you're putting in your body.
Yeah. What else don't I eat anymore? It's really...
Well, we don't eat a lot of...
I'm a real boring person
now. No,
no. But you know, there's a lot of people out there, and I was one of them, that eat really, really horrible food. And it's because it's accepted as a culture to eat this way. You know, I mean, it's like it's what we're being sold. And I just, the more I see it, the more I just want to take food out of people's mouths and just say, don't eat that. You're going to get sick. And don't you know that what you're putting in your mouth is going to make you sick? But I can't do that. So.
No, you can't do that. You know, I think I shared on this show pretty recently, and I didn't confess this to really anybody until recently, but early on, like in the 80s and early 90s, when the no smoking rules started to come out,
mm-hmm.
and there were no smoking rules in airports, for example.
Right.
They had special smoking rooms, but you couldn't smoke in an airport. Especially in international airports is where I found problems, because they had these rules where you couldn't smoke and people ignored them.
Right.
And I used to go up to people and I would say, there's no smoking here. You see this sign? There's no smoking. And they would look at me like, who are you? And they would ignore me. And then I would take the cigarette out of their mouth. I don't recommend that. But you were just saying...
That is so Karen Hartglass.
But I don't do that anymore. I've refined my methods of activism. But you were just saying that, you know, you want to take food out of people's mouths. And I understand. I mean, I was taking cigarettes out of people's mouths. I wasn't doing it for them, though. I was doing it for me and everybody else who didn't want to get the secondhand smoke. But we care about people.
Well, yeah, I really do. I mean, I have friends who just eat horribly. And I, you know, there's not, I can't say anything because I used to eat that way and they used to be with me when I ate that way. And now they, you know, they still eat that way. And it's, what do you do? What's the best approach? I guess when you really want to get healthy, you'll get healthy. But I'm not sure. My heart breaks for so many people when I see them.
I want to get back to what we're
money on poison.
I want to get back to what we're talking about eating here and what we're doing. For example, there are just lots of different things that make me think more because we have so many constraints. So today, on our brief break, we went over to the supermarket to buy some food. And we weren't taking it home with us because we didn't have time. And we're in California and the car gets hot.
Right.
So I didn't want to leave the food in the car, but I also didn't want to leave our plastic bottles that had water in them.
Right.
And I know a lot of people keep plastic bottles of water in the car. And this is a dangerous thing to do. And people don't even think about it. They think, I'm clever, I'm going to have water with me in the car all the time.
Right.
But it shouldn't be for drinking. No. Because when plastic gets hot, what happens, everybody? Yeah. Those toxins from the plastic leach right into your water. And then you drink the water.
Right.
So please don't. Number one, we shouldn't be using these single-use bottles. And I feel really bad that we're doing that, but
yeah,
we're kind of limited here and making compromises. And we do buy drinks in plastic bottles. Like we bought some green juices today in plastic bottles, and I love those green juices.
Yes.
I don't love the plastic bottle. But when you keep plastic in a hot environment, the dangerous toxins from the plastic are going to leach out. Not so much when they're cold, but definitely when they're hot.
Right. And who knows how long they've sat on the loading dock, or especially these water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
But you do the best you can, as we always say.
Yeah. So then I wanted to just kind of share one more thing. So we're not doing some really sophisticated cooking.
No.
But the other day we had a night off, I think.
Did we?
Yeah, we had a night off.
Oh, yeah, we did. Friday night.
And I started thinking about what I was going to make you for dinner.
Right.
Because you had been working so hard. I had been working so hard, but I had a little burst of energy. And I started thinking ahead of time. And I do this when we're going to have a big dinner or something. I kind of rehearse in my mind what I'm going to do before
sure.
I do it.
Absolutely.
It makes all the difference. So for those of you who haven't found their kitchen yet or kind of lost in the kitchen or struggle in the kitchen, there are a lot of things that make food preparation easier. One is practice. Repetition, repetition, practice. Just like any skill, you need to practice. But the other thing is this preparation in terms of knowing what it is you're going to do when you do it. So I was playing the film of making dinner in my mind before I actually hit the kitchen.
Yeah.
And
I do that all the time.
And then, and you were kind of surprised at how I did it so quickly.
You did it so quickly.
Yeah.
What was it that we had?
And what did we make? So I made some buckwheat walnuts.
Kasha.
And what I like to do with buckwheat is we get the raw buckwheat groats and I toast them in a pan. Now, you can buy them already toasted, but I prefer to do it myself because I think you get that nutty, toasty flavor when you do it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they've kind of toasted a little bit, that's when I'll add the water to them to cook and soften. And when they're all done, I threw in some walnuts and tossed them around. But while the buckwheat was cooking, we bought these really adorable round zucchini.
Right. And almost like a summer squash, but they're about the size of a...
like an apple.
A little bigger than an apple, bigger. Yeah.
I love them. I cut off the tops and then scoop out the insides.
Perfectly round.
They're great to stuff things in.
Yeah.
So I think normally I would bake them, but like Harry said, we're afraid to use the oven.
Yeah, we're not quite sure about the oven.
So I thought I would steam them to soften the zucchini. And then while they were steaming and the buckwheat was cooking, I quickly chopped an eggplant, a red pepper, some onion, the inside of the zucchini. What else was in there? We had some olives, too.
Olives, yeah, Greek olives.
And when the zucchini finished steaming, I took them out because we don't have too many pots here to use.
Yeah, we're using...
We're pot challenged.
We're using two pots. And then we went out and bought a third pot.
Yeah, and so I cooked the vegetables in the same pot that I had steamed the zucchini in and made kind of like a ratatouille. We had a jar of one of my favorite tomato products. So we rarely buy tomatoes in cans these days.
Yeah.
And the reason is that cans have a lining in them. There's this BPA lining, and some food products now don't use BPA, but they use other products, and we don't know if they're safe or not yet because there hasn't been any studies on the new products or nothing really conclusive yet. And tomatoes tend to be more acidic than other foods like beans, for example, and so it's a lot easier for things to leach into the tomatoes because of their acidity.
Kind of a theme this show is leaching.
Leaching.
Plastic leaching into the water and...
yes.
And some kind of horrible
plastic
thing.
Toxins leaching into
the tomatoes.
Yeah. So we buy all our tomato products in glass. And one of my favorites is this Bio Nature, however, right, whatever country you're from pronouncing it. And they have this... is it called strained tomatoes? Strained tomatoes. Yeah. And I threw some of those in. Really good. And then filled the steamed zucchini with the eggplant mixture. It was really yummy. Okay, yeah. We're looking at it now. Organic strained tomatoes.
Right.
Bio Nature.
Yeah, and they make a lot of products.
Yeah.
Bio Nature.
It says, makes perfect sauce in 5 minutes.
Right.
It's a very nice one. Yeah. So...
now, what are the ingredients in those tomatoes?
I think it's tomatoes, Gary.
Let's see.
It's organic strained tomatoes. I love products like this. Right. Products that are just what they are, tomatoes. Like when we buy peanut butter. What's in our peanut butter, Gary?
Peanuts.
That's all.
That's
nothing
it.
Nothing else.
We were talking about raisins the other day because I am, you know, addicted to raisins and dried fruit. Now, that's another thing I gave up was desserts that are made with sugars and things. I know you guys are probably thinking, how, you know, this guy's lying to us.
But no, he isn't.
But I now for dessert, I eat dried fruit. I mean, that's like my big treat. And I was just talking to Karen about this again the other day because I have a real problem when I look on a package and I see that what I wanted to say is ingredients, raisins. But what you see so often is ingredients, raisins, and oil. And I'm thinking, why would you put oil on raisins?
So Karen, they won't stick.
So they won't stick, but I don't care if they stick.
Yeah.
But I guess people do, right?
People are really finicky about their food. They don't like pulp or seeds.
I can't believe that that would really be why you put oil on raisins, so that they won't stick. Because remember, you get the little boxes
of
raisins?
Yeah, they didn't have oil in
them. They didn't have oil, and they stuck together like a block
of
raisins.
So if anybody has the answer to why there is
oil
on raisins, please let us know. My email is info@realmeals.org.
Yeah,
we want to know.
Another thing that they put on a lot of dried fruit is sulfate, right? Or sulfur?
Sulfur dioxide.
Sulfur dioxide.
Hello.
Why would you do that?
Sulfur dioxide. It's like a preservative.
Right.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Sad.
Yeah. We don't buy dried fruit that has anything on it.
Right. We buy the dried fruit that just says ingredients, dried fruit, whatever
exactly.
Dried fruit it is. Or at least we try. And we always try to get organic. But oil on raisins, I just don't understand. So please let us know why they do it. And is it just because they don't want them to stick or what?
Can we talk about snap peas for a minute?
Yes. Wow, that's great.
There are some foods that you don't normally buy because for some reason we're all in our own routine about the foods that we buy and don't buy. And then you have a food that you're familiar with, but you don't normally buy it. And you think to yourself, I like this.
Right.
This is really good.
Right.
And snap peas are one of those things. And we were staying at another person's house, and she and her family were going to China. And she left some produce in the refrigerator that she said we could use. And
right.
One of the things was a bag of snap peas, which we put in our salad, and so yummy.
Yes. I love snap peas and salad. I like pea pods, too. I mean, if you can't get snap peas, what are the flat pea pods?
Yeah.
Those are really great, too. And so many interesting things you can put in a salad.
And if people have gardens, then they can grow them, and I imagine they'd be even more spectacular.
Right. I guess it's, what is it? It's not pea pods. Anyway, don't quote me on this, but it's something that's flat and looks like a pea pod, but the pea inside is very tiny.
Hmm.
I know someone out there knows the name of this pea.
Now, we were at your sister's for July 4th, and she made Roma beans?
Oh, yeah,
what
those
were
great.
Is that what you
Roma
called them?
Beans.
Roma beans. They are really flat.
It's like a long string bean that was flat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were very good.
Very good. I never had them before.
Right. And we're going now to this area of Campbell that we're staying in. It has a downtown not far from us, so we're walking downtown and going to different restaurants. And we had a pleasant surprise when we first moved here that we went to a sushi restaurant, because normally if Karen and I can't find a vegan restaurant, we'll go to a Japanese restaurant and get an avocado maki or a cucumber maki, or, you know, they usually all do vegetable makis. Well, when we walked in, we were skeptical, and we asked at the counter, at the front desk, do you have anything on the menu for vegans? And she said,
we have a vegan menu.
We have a vegan menu. So
Woo!
She pulled out a vegan menu, blew the dust off of it, and gave us each a copy. So that was really, really a nice surprise. So
yeah, well, it was nice. Somebody really thought about it, because there were a lot of items. There were a lot of classic Japanese items where they just removed the animal.
Right, damburi being one of them.
Yeah, which was great. It was wakame seaweed and daikon radish and tofu. They put in some avocado, and it was served on a bed of rice with a vinegar sauce.
Right.
Really good.
Really good. And I had a stir fry the other night, and it was with tofu. And what they left off was fish flakes. So I guess there's... They use a lot of fish flakes
mm-hmm.
in some of these recipes.
Yeah, who needs them? Who yeah. needs them? We don't. That place is called Sushi Confidential.
Right, and they have a really nice vegan menu. So if you're ever in Campbell, go to Sushi Confidential if you're looking for a place that you can get some vegan food. Otherwise, I don't know of any other vegan restaurants in Campbell, do you?
No. But we did eat at that one place last year that I hope we get back to. It's something like Tigerellia, something
oh, right,
like that. Remember?
Right. They also had a vegan menu.
Not a vegan menu, but they had one or two.
Right.
They had a vegan main dish.
Main dish, right.
Which was very good.
Right. That was great. An
yeah.
Italian restaurant, very boutique Italian restaurant, you know, white tablecloths and... but not too fancy, but it was, you know, a place you'd like to sit and relax. And
I used to love Italian restaurants. The thing that frustrates me about so many of them is the vegan items that they have are typically white pasta, white flour pasta, or pizza with a white flour crust.
Right.
And Italian foods can be great, a lot of wonderful fresh vegetables, but many of the restaurants aren't that
creative. Yeah, let's get the
creative.
Name of that place. So you think it's called...
Tigerellia. T-I-G-E-R... something like that.
Tigerellia Restaurant in Campbell. I think that's the name of it.
We're doing this right here for you right now. Oh, you're not connected to the internet.
Well, that's interesting.
All right. Well, while
we'll move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
You know, we don't get very political on this show.
No, never.
And I don't want to get too political. But I do want to offer up some ideas because there are many of us who are upset with what is going on here in the United States of America
right.
with our current government.
Right.
And
what can we do?
Outrageous things keep happening and we keep thinking, okay, now something's going to happen, now something's going to change, and nothing happens. And the activity from the man in the White House who claims to be president keeps doing more and more outrageous things and getting away with them.
Right.
It's really frustrating. It's many people are depressed and full of anxiety. And I have recommendations. So I wanted to talk about that because it's related to food.
Right. Because we're on It's All About Food.
Because this is It's All About Food. All right.
This is going to be good, you guys. Listen.
So we're frustrated. We're frustrated because
we
can't do anything. And I want you to know that there's a lot that you can do in your own life. Now, many people say, vote with your dollar or vote with your fork. So, while many people have been upset about parents being separated from their children, from desperate people who have come to this country escaping violence, escaping extreme poverty and starvation and looking for a better place to raise their families. And then they get here and we had that horrible policy that has seemed to have changed, but who knows, where many, many children, especially young children, were separated from their parents and we were all outraged. And what can we do? I see. Okay, that was terrible. Yes, but there are many things that we support in our own lives that are as bad or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the cows, for example, that are bred and impregnated to bear calves and give milk for the dairy industry to make milk and milk products and cheese. Now, maybe a lot of people don't care about dairy cows, but dairy cows are intelligent and they're kind and they love their families and they love their children. And why is it okay for us to take their children away from them?
That's a good question.
Why is that okay? And why isn't there more outrage? Because they're not humans? It seems some people don't seem to mind that human children are taken away from their parents because they're not white or not like the people that they want to be associated with.
Yeah, there's all kinds of...
I find a lot of parallels between exploiting human beings and exploiting non-human animals.
Right.
And we could talk about chicks, for example. So in the hatcheries where hens are raised to lay eggs, when the hens lay eggs, okay, that's one thing, but then they let a certain amount of them, the fertilized ones, hatch, and the ones that are born male are garbage. They just throw them away.
Right.
They just throw them away and smother them. It's done.
It's horrifying.
Why is that okay?
Why is that okay? So what can we do, Karen?
Go vegan. I mean, it's obvious. So if you're feeling really frustrated and you're not vegan yet, and I know many of you aren't, and I know some of you want to be and find it very challenging and difficult because you've told me and you've written me and we communicate and I try and offer helpful tips. But sometimes you kind of have to go past your own self and see the whole world and see what's going on. And when you're outraged and don't feel like there's anything that you can do, there's plenty that you can do in your own life. Get the violence, get the exploitation out of your own life.
Right. Get it off your plate.
And, you know, there are many people who are so outraged with our government and they don't see what they're doing in their own life.
Yes, it's true. But you're making us all aware of this.
I'm doing what I can.
Right. And that's
more
than many.
And we can see this kind of horrible treatment with many different animal species and fish species as well. What's going on with aquaculture today, or what do they call it? Well, fish farming is just as bad. These poor fish are grown, some of them, in these really polluted waters. And what we do to fish is just horrible. We've got the ones that are in the fish farms are one thing. But then the fact that we use these giant ships with these giant nets, these trawlers that just scrape the bottom of the ocean and collect everything that it can possibly pick up just to get a few fish. I mean, they end up killing a lot more fish than they're going to use. I mean, it's just a disaster. And why is that okay?
It's not. But if people feel powerless, they really do have a lot more power than they think.
You have a lot of power, and the power is right in your own hand with what you purchase.
And what you put in your mouth.
And what you put in your mouth.
Yes. And so there are things that you can do, and it starts with the individual making a decision that they aren't going to contribute to that type of horrific.
You know, and this show is called It's All About Food, and I care most about animals, and I want to help minimize the killing of animals because I think it shouldn't be done. But it really points to everything we're consuming.
Right.
Because we're manipulated to consume all kinds of things and think about who is it benefiting. The things that we buy. Most of the time, it's just benefiting the few people at the top of a corporation that are making the product. It rarely provides us with much benefit.
Right. But going plant-based or going vegan gives you so many benefits. And the ripple effect, Into the Woods has a song called No One Is Alone.
So Into the Woods is the musical we're directing.
Right.
And there are wonderful lessons in this story.
Many of you have probably either seen the stage play or recently the movie came out with a lot of big stars. And James Corden played the baker and Meryl Streep played the witch. Anyway, there's a song called No One Is Alone. And it doesn't mean that no one is alone. It means that things that we do affect everyone around us. So yes, there are people that are alone, but that's not the alone they're talking about, or Mr. Sondheim is talking about, or Mr. Lapine. It's the no one is alone, meaning our actions affect all those around us. And going vegan, going plant-based, really does have a positive effect on everything, everyone, the environment. I mean, you name it, it has a positive effect on all of us, including all sentient beings and the water and the land and the climate change. And so you can, as an individual, make a huge difference just by what it is that you put on your plate, what you choose to eat.
You know, I don't know if it was intentional, but there seemed to be some kind of vegan messages in Into the Woods.
Sure. The witch talks about her garden, her greens, and
her beans.
And Jack wants Milky White not as a milking cow. He wants Milky White as a friend. As a friend.
And not on his plate.
Right.
Yeah, so I like that.
It's got a lot of positive messages.
I have to say that with this grueling schedule that we have, I believe that what we're eating is really helping keep us going.
Yeah, I mean, here we are. What is it? What time is it? It's West Coast time.
It's a little after midnight.
And we're recording a show, and I don't feel that tired, do you? I probably sound tired. I'm probably putting our audience to sleep. But we really wanted to get back and start doing this show. Karen's asleep, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody. No, we're not sleeping. I've had a lot of energy. We're doing a lot of singing and moving around. It actually feels pretty good.
It does.
Yeah. You may remember when we did this the last time, when we were doing Music Man around December, January, February, I was so committed to not getting sick.
Right.
And there was a really nasty flu going around.
Right.
And we were so careful. We washed our hands. We used hand sanitizers. I was using my neti pot all the time. I still am. I love that thing. And we were eating really well and making sure we took our supplements. We take B12 and zinc and K2 and vitamin D. And
we're staying healthy.
We stayed healthy
knock
over.
On wood.
Yeah. Knock, knock, knock. Yeah. But I really attribute healthy food to...
Good job, Karen.
Yay. Good job, Gary.
Yeah. Good job, everybody.
Yes. Good job, everybody. And, you know, in addition to dried fruit, we do occasionally have a treat. And our favorite treat lately, I've mentioned this before recently.
But it's made with dried. It's sweetened with dried fruit.
Yes. It's Pressed Juicery and their product called Freeze.
Right. Oh. You guys, you have to check it out if you're near a Pressed Juicery. Their Freeze is great. And their juices are great, too, but again, their freezes are made with real...
Either almond or coconut, and then some flavors.
Plant-based milks and...
sweetened with dates.
Sweetened with dates, and sometimes they add a little salt, but...
Yeah, there was salt in the coconut.
Right.
Why is that?
I guess it brings out the flavor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Gary, you know what?
Have we done it?
We've been babbling away here about food, and I think we can wrap it up now.
Yeah. I'm just starting to have fun.
Just starting to warm up here.
Well, thanks for having me on your show, Karen. And
hey, thanks for talking to me.
I hope I come back and talk with you again sometime.
Yes.
So don't forget, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com is our organization, its website. And we do have an app that you can download for Android and or...
Apple.
Do they call them apples anymore?
Are they defaulting now to the... iPhone app, something like that. Anyway, we use the app
Mac,
all the time.
Right? Or is it Mac?
I always go to the real app for recipes.
Right. There's a lot of recipes.
I go there for my own recipes.
Check out our barbecue video. It's on the homepage, and just click on the... photo of Karen and I barbecuing, and
it's really real American barbecue. It's fun.
It's really a lot of fun, and it's barbecue season, and we talk a lot about different things that you should do, and it's a clever way of presenting it to you.
You could learn a little bit more about us.
Yeah,
that's fun.
And how wacky we are.
Okay, everybody, thanks so much for listening. I'm glad we finally got to do this, and I hope to be back next week. Find a moment to squeeze another one of these things in, because I love talking about food, and I think it's important.
And you love talking to everybody out there.
I do, everybody.
All right. Good night.
Take care, everybody. Remember, I'm Karen Hartglass. You can find me at info@realmeals.org. Everybody, have a delicious week. Thank you.